Hey, Vinny.
Tyler, what's going on? High
fly into right, back at the wall.
Swung on a joke deep to right field. There it goes. See ya.
First hit of the year. Oh. Drives one. Deep left field. That goes up to back near the wall. It's out of here.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, folks. Welcome to episode 81 of the Big Fly Pod with your co-host Vinny D'Amato and T. Lou. If you did not check out our interview on episode 80, please do. We're not even going to tell you the name. We want you to go directly to it and listen to it if you're interested on the analytics of baseball and everything that goes behind that. And you should go listen to episode 80 if you're interested in learning more. Vinny. Good to see you, my friend. How are you doing?
It's been a long week of work stuff, but doing well. I'm excited to talk some baseball. One of my favorite baseball players is back, and Mr. Royce Lewis. Hopefully he can stay back. The Cubs just continue to crush my soul, and I don't think Aaron Judge is a human being. So a lot going on for baseball, but life's good. I'm excited to talk about some, and yeah, the interview last time was wonderful. TJ, oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to say his name. He did great. And love diving in with the stat guys like Ariel and him. So, looking forward to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, folks, we're about a third of the way through the season thus far. How crazy is that, Vinny? And I think with, you know, where the show has gone and, you know, how we've had a lot of other things come up and how we're now going to try to at least be consistent with this show, maybe even adding another show. We'll talk about that at a later date if that becomes an opportunity. But I think it's important to kind of sort of recap how the season's going here thus far. We're not going to go too much into the numbers. We're going to kind of talk about the kind of the floor base of just sort of what's been going on with the league and, you know, what players are standing out, which ones have broken out and having an incredible season thus far, which teams are doing tremendously well, Vinny. It's important to talk about. And a lot of those teams that we actually picked to have success this year has been pretty cool. Vinny, what has kind of been your general takeaway from the season thus far?
It's been a really weird season. Weird in the sense of offense being down so drastically across the board. I'm not quite sure why. I had this conversation with my dad actually, and I don't know the specifics behind it, but something tells me like the baseballs may be a little, not juicy, not as juicy as we're used to, right? And I that could be a part of it because I really can't explain some of the dips that we've seen from, across the board, but also. So a lot of players who are, they were fringe before, right? Fringe power, right? They just barely get into 20 home runs or something. That's just kind of evaporated, right? And so I'm not sure if it's the baseball. I'm not sure if it's just pitchers are really good. We have seen an influx of young pitching, which has been phenomenal to see, especially given all the injuries that have been going on with pitching. But there's a lot of talented arms. So, it's been an odd season, but I feel like we say that every season, right? Every season brings its own challenges. But still love watching, right? Still a lot of fun. I'm a fan of pitchers duels, so I've enjoyed it much more than I think typically, but just an odd season.
There has been, and you make some very, very valid points there too, because looking at the season thus far, you talked about those injuries. You'd think injuries to the top arms in the game would then increase the offensive numbers and what we'd see from that standpoint, and we just haven't. And is there something going on with the, baseballs being maybe deadened a little bit? You know, who's to know about that, except Manfred? And, looking at baseball as a whole, we have a lot of exciting arms. Are they looking at it and saying, do we want Paul Skeens, Jared Jones, do we want the Glasnows of the world? Do we want some of these guys to start to be, what people are coming to see? And I don't know. I guess it's all dependent upon the fan. But generally speaking, I would think that most fans would want to see more offense.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of how they tailored the rule changes, right? Like, you saw the increase in stolen bases last year, the banning of the shift, the bigger bases, the pickoff limitation. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Most people kind of tend to lean
that way. A good point. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that, that those things added in, are they now trying to take that back a little bit?
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure it'll always be an ebb and flow, right? They'll overreact one way and then overreact another. And just players, right? The type of players that we see and the skill sets that we see, how are they tailored to, you know, what MLB is trying to accomplish? And I wonder if MLB takes that into consideration either, right? Are they trying to highlight specific people to do different things? And, you know, we don't really know. I'm trying to find data on the baseball, but it's so hard to find. Like, what do you, you know, how do you search for something like that? So I'll keep looking, but that's something that I've been kind of on my mind that I didn't really think to look into until now. So anything else you got there?
It's a very interesting conversation, and that's why I love our show, is that we can talk about these things and bring up topics that are really kind of, we use the term interesting a lot, Vinny. I just noticed that. Things are interesting. I'm interested.
You got a better word?
No. I actually don't have a word for that. I don't know how to transition into this, but do you want to talk about what's going on with the league thus far?
Sure. Yeah. What do you got? You don't want to
let's start with the division leaders here thus far in the NL. For the NL Central, the Brewers are at the top right now with the Phillies in the NL East and the Dodgers in the NL West. An interesting point here, Vinny, that we had noticed prior to the show, too. Most of the gaps between the first and second place teams are pretty significant, besides the AL East, which right now are the New York Yankees with the Baltimore Orioles trailing just behind at 2.5. But the Guardians in the AL Central and the Mariners out in the AL West, pretty much all the other divisions besides that AL East are all 4+ game gaps between that first and second place team. Vinny, what has been sort of your surprise teams thus far from just that group of six?
So it's, for me, and I try to take my bias out of it, but the Milwaukee Brewers have just absolutely blown my socks off. I don't know how they're doing it. I had a phone call after the Cubs-Brewers series last week. I called a buddy of mine who's a Brewers fan, and I was like, how the hell do they do it? Like, they just traded away Corbin Burns. We thought they were going to trade away Willy Adames, and, you know, we thought we were headed for a little bit of a rebuild. And, oh, hey, look at that. Now you're 7 games ahead in the NL Central, and we're only a third of the way through the season. They've looked phenomenal in all facets. They're hitters. Taking numbers out of it, they just look like hitters. They look like they're up there. They know what they're doing. They have an approach, and they execute that approach. They have tons of speed on that team. So, you know, they're able to steal ball games, it feels like, with a couple extra stolen bases, or, you know, taking that extra base when most teams might not do something like that. They're phenomenal at bunting, right? They just bunted twice in an inning, I want to say, a couple games ago. So they play the game exceptionally well. They're a small market team that just figures out ways to make it work. So the Brewers have certainly been my surprise team, although the Phillies have been much better than I anticipated. The Braves a little bit worse. So lots of interesting teams, and I'm trying not to use the word interesting. Lots of teams that are just not in places that I would expect, but I guess the Brewers do lead that list.
I do want to touch on the Brewers as well, as much as it pains me to say it, as we are both Cub fans, but we will fully admit that the Cubs got their asses kicked against the Brewers in Milwaukee. Yes, was there probably an added little bit of an edge with Council coming back? Sure. But that is, they played 36 innings of baseball, and I would say the Cubs maybe were winning, I can't remember the number of innings that they were winning, but if I were to think about, you know, momentum, Vinny, I'm thinking maybe under five innings of that entire four-game span. And it comes from the fact that you have guys in throughout that order that includes speed and that they are able to do things that are more of a team-oriented approach. Mm-hmm. And you alluded to that with talking about bunting. The speed aspect was something that I really, really noticed that is going to be killer as the year goes on, especially getting those dog days, right? Teams get tired. These guys are going to be all over the place, and they're going to be all over the field, and they're going to be causing havoc. And you could tell that there's that added edge. I mean, even the games that they played against the White Sox, the worst team in baseball, according to the standings right now, but they're, you know, the White Sox are still a young team. You know, they're not necessarily going to just, you know, fall down every single time. Every single game, the Brewers were down. They came back to win. Ended up sweeping the White Sox.
Yeah.
So watching them and seeing what they do, especially with the pitching situation too, that'll be really interesting to watch. Now, can their pitching, you know, withstand what's coming? Gasser just went on the IL. You know, can Freddie Peralta continue his? He is electric. He might be he's top five favorite arms in baseball to watch. Mm-hmm. They're a team that does a lot of things the right way, and it was very, very prevalent. We obviously got to see a full-size sample with them playing the Cubs, but you kind of sat there wondering, how is this team in first place, and how losing Council could they ever do what they're doing? No, they're a really well-run organization, and
I wouldn't even just say losing Council. They lost Burns too, right? Like,
and Woodruff for a year. I mean,
yeah,
Yelich was out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's that team looks scary. I will tell you, my surprise team is the Seattle Mariners, Vinny. Mm-hmm. Bottom five, pretty much in major offensive categories. They just do not hit the ball, and I think that without what their pitching has done, which their pitching is then top five in the league, you basically just flip that from both sides of the ball. Without them on the pitching side, you talk about Munoz at the back end of that rotation, back end of the bullpen, which I don't see how anyone is going to hit him this year. What an interesting squad to watch, because, you know, they let some guys go. Right, they let Eugenio Suarez move on to Arizona and some other bats, and Julio hasn't had necessarily the best start to the season as well. He might start to pick it up here, just kind of how Julio does it. But for them to do what they do is really interesting to watch, Vinny, because that pitching is so elite that it's going to keep them in a lot of ball games. And I think in Seattle too, I would have to see what they are record at home wise. Yeah, 21-11. At home, that ballpark, when they play there, it's different. It's a little different, Vinny. And I think that if they can get that home series in the playoffs, watch out. This could be a really sneaky squad. And in the playoffs, teams really, at the end of the day, are going to win on a few things. It's going to be number one is pitching. Number two will be their bullpen and clutch hitting. I would have to look at the clutch factor and all those things to see where the Mariners are at in retrospective to that. But this team, they just seem to find a way to win ball games. I'm really intrigued to watch them, Vinny. Have you been able to watch them as much?
Yeah, actually. So the only live game that I was at this year, I made it to, I was on down in Dallas. And so I caught a Rangers Mariners game. So a little intra-division matchup, interdivision. And they ended up losing. Adolis Garcia hit a bomb. The Rangers ended up winning the game, but, you know, you mentioned it, you touched on it. The Mariners with their pitching staff, they get into the playoffs. I mean, they're one of the last teams you're going to want to face. I mean, it doesn't take much for offenses to get cold, but when you have that many quality arms, they just have too many guys to rely on that. It's like, okay, well, this guy's getting hit around a little bit. Well, you got another Ferrari waiting in the garage, right? I mean, they have so many guys that are just phenomenal arms. So, I will say too, I wanted to, I should have listened to the receipts on this one, because one of my other favorite surprise teams, if I jump over to the AL here, is the Kansas City Royals. And I want to say, when we talked about them in the offseason, I had brought up them being a sneaky contender, And I want to say it was Kyle or CM or maybe even you who was, they were pretty big doubters. And I'm so happy for them because they've done what they needed to do. They built from the ground up with Bobby Witt, and they've kind of filled every other hole that they've needed to. Vinny P is finally looking a little bit better. And, you know, we even see Nelson Velasquez flourishing there. A lot of guys that like role players. And I mean, I'm not just saying it's those three players, right? Obviously they got a full team of guys who are, you know, their offense is phenomenal, but yeah, I'm really excited for the Kansas City Royals. I'd say they are my AL surprise team because, you know, compared to where they were last year, they're going to surpass their win total very, very quickly.
It's the Bobby Witt show, and you need a superstar. You really do in this day and age. And you see that with the Yankees, with they got two of them with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, who are leading the league basically in that stat line. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is a, you know, you talk about the Royals. You know, you trying to think of some other teams, but you can kind of put, if you wanted to, you can't really put the Brewers in there, but them, the Orioles, the Guardians, which has been a massive surprise, really, Vinny, because that team, people thought, well, they'll just kind of figure it out. Steven Vogt will come in. Well, he's done a tremendous job at 39 wins already on the season thus far, just three behind the top. Team in the league with the Dodgers the Phillies and the Yankees.
And the one thing I will say too is when we came into this season, we assumed the AL Central would be the worst division in baseball by far. Besides the AL East and maybe competing with the AL East, this could be the best division in baseball. I mean, they got four 30 game winners already in that division, while the AL East has one. The AL West only has one 30-game winner. The AL East has the Yankees, Orioles, and Red Sox. The NL West has two. The NL East has two. The NL Central only has one. This could be one of the best divisions in baseball right now. The Guardians are playing really, really well. The Royals, obviously. The Twins now getting Royce Lewis back. The Tigers, for as bad as they've been, for them to still be 500 at 30-30 is pretty good. So, This division is a lot scarier than I would have anticipated, right? To say that the Guardians have the third best record in baseball right now is not something that I would have anticipated. So good for them and good for that whole division.
Now, Vinny, do you see right now, looking at the NL and looking at the AL, your top number one seeds right now would be the Yankees from the AL and the Phillies in the NL. Do you foresee both those teams still being the number one seeds going into the playoffs for each of the conferences?
It's hard to say. I'll start with the NL. I really think it's a two-team race between the Phillies and the Dodgers. Something tells me that Atlanta's going to hang around and they'll be a playoff team. I just, you know, especially losing Acuña is going to hurt. I don't know if they're going to be the regular season offensive juggernaut or just juggernaut in general. They may still make some noise in the playoffs, but regular season, I mean, yeah, I think I'm still going to roll with the Dodgers. The Phillies, again, have impressed me quite a bit and won't be shocked in the least at all if they are able to keep it up and be the number one seed. But I just think the Dodgers have almost underperformed what they should be doing at this point. And you know, the fact that we're a third of the way through the season and they're still 38-23. I think that there's so much more in the tank for them. And yeah, so I will say, I think the Dodgers still pull it off in the National League. The American League though, a little bit more up in the air, because here's my concern with the Yankees, right? Obviously, they're getting Gerrit Cole back. That's a huge, hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully nothing happens there, right? But now they lost Clark Schmidt for a little while. I don't know, and we're going to break this player down a little bit too. I don't know how long Luis Gil is going to be able to keep it up. He's never had the innings, you know, for a full season. Are they going to just let him go until his arm falls off? Like, we don't know what that's going to look like. There's just some question marks, and their pitching has been phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not here to bash their pitching. I don't know how long they can keep something like that up versus when I look at a team like the Orioles or even the Guardians, like the success that those two teams have garnered feels a little more sustained, in my opinion. And if what happens if Aaron Judge gets hurt again, right? We've seen that a million times. There's just they feel a little bit more like it's a house of cards. Not saying that they're not a great team, because, you know, fully healthy, this team is probably, you know, the best in baseball. Obviously, they have the best record. So for all of those reasons, I'm out on the Yankees, if you're asking me right now. I would probably say I think the Baltimore Orioles run in with that number one seed. They're only 2.5 back of the Yankees right now. And again, it just feels a little more sustained. Same with the Guardians. Love them, but just don't. I think they're maybe playing a little above their head. Jose Ramirez is playing like an MVP, but we'll see, obviously, as we get down the stretch. Those are, you know, you can nitpick things and break it down 1,000 ways, but the season's going to fall the way it falls, you know, and 1,000 things are going to change, like I said. So those are my two picks. I would say the Dodgers and the Orioles.
I will say this. I'm gonna say the Yankees will be the number one seed. And I think that you called me a purist the other day, which is a beautiful word to call somebody. I am more terrified of that Yankees lineup in Yankee Stadium than I am against the Baltimore Orioles lineup in Baltimore. And I'll tell you why, Benny. I think that the Orioles now are having to move guys up and down. Now, you might want to talk about reinforcements as a positive. Well, all their reinforcements are younger players. So how impactful can they be down the stretch? How impactful can they be in a playoff scenario? The Yankees are loaded from 1 to 9. And it pains me to say this, that I am most terrified when that lineup gets going, and especially in Yankee Stadium. I'm going to say Yankees right now, they're 24-11 away from Yankee Stadium too, which is mightily impressive. So I'm going to say Yankees, but I will say this, the Orioles easily, if Jackson Holliday can figure it out, I don't know his stat line. I heard he's done a little bit better now since being in AAA. You know, it's a lot on rookies, and they're still very, very young squad. So can the Yankees take the next step? Can Volpe, you know, be the guy down the stretch in the playoffs? We can go through all that. I'm going to say on the NL side, I'm leaning Phillies because what?
Royce Lewis with a home run.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome. I'm sorry.
That is so funny.
Two walks and a home run. Yeah, swear to God.
That's unreal. That is so funny. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I understand how probably good you feel.
Okay. Yes, I do.
I
love that.
Are the Cubs still getting no hit by Chris Flexen?
Probably. I don't care about them right now. Let's see. Yep. Oh, down 5-0 to the White Sox. Yeah. And one hit. They do have one hit.
That was
Miguel Amaya.
I can't even turn this stuff on, man.
I know. I was like, after this, I'm like, okay, I'll watch the Cubs game. I don't know if I can. I just don't know. You're talking about the Phillies. Yeah.
Yeah. I see the Phillies being the number one just because of that sort of that same mantra.
Can I push back on your one of your Yankees points? Sure. You mentioned the young guys coming up, and I totally agree with you that when it comes down to the playoffs, like these guys, who knows how much of an impact they're going to have, right? That's a totally different atmosphere. My pushback is, does that matter so much in the regular season? Like when these guys come up, right? I mean, you're arguing who's going to be number one seed. These games in the regular season, yeah, they're competing for, you know, the number one seed, but they still, I think, feel a little bit more relaxed, if you will. And so that was just my thought of like, okay, if these guys do come up, there's a little bit better chance that they play better in the regular season. So I don't know. I don't know if you'd thought about that at all. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Like I would definitely be worried about them in the playoffs, but are you so much worried about the depth in that second half of the regular season?
That's a great point. That is a great point because the Yankees are entitled to the IL.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you can't spell Yankees without IL. So that is, that is something to be very concerned about. And you talked about it with their rotation, right? They already lost Schmidt. Who knows what Cole's going to do when he comes back, Luis Hill and all these things. So from the top standpoint, yeah, you're going to have Gunner, you're going to have Adley, and you're going to have Burns. I just think playoffs if we're, because I guess we're still talking about rest of the season. It's a good point. It is a good point. It just, that lineup stays healthy.
Yeah, right. And I don't disagree with you. I really don't. I mean, that's if that lineup's healthy, like, and the pitch is healthy, like Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole, like that's the number one team. There's no doubt about it.
Because the tough part too, right? And don't worry, I was the one at the beginning of the season who said, watch out for the IL. Hand up. I have my receipts in my own words saying this team is prone to be on the IL.
Yeah.
But, you know, you saying that this team is going to be on the IL, right? It's all speculative at the end of the day. Yeah. And we're all speculative when it comes to baseball, especially with the duration of the entire season. But I think what's also really powerful is that you have Juan Soto or you have Aaron Judge, and the guys around him right now in the lineup are doing so well. Will those guys, if either of them get hurt, can one of them hold that team together? Because right now it's so hard to pitch to this lineup because of that back-to-back with Judge and Soto. It just amplifies that lineup to a different level. So I'm leaning Phillies. I'm leaning Yankees.
Okay.
Pains me to say that, but what a World Series that would be. My God. Let's talk about some players that are on some of the teams that we've talked about here thus far, Vinny. We got quite a few guys that are having some pretty successful campaigns thus far. We'll talk about a hitter and pitcher that have really been standing out here. We may have mentioned them earlier, but just from talking about, if we wanted to go through AL leaders in different categories, well, Aaron Judge has had truly a remarkable season that many people were concerned about, and people even at the beginning of this season. If you remember, Vinny, I think that there were some Yankee fans that would have been mind seeing him get DFA'd. But right now, leader in home runs, slug, and OPS, and that's across all of baseball, Vinny. One interesting name to point out is Jurickson Profar leading the league, or MLB, all of MLB, with a 426 OBP. Love to talk about Jurickson Profar here for the next 10 minutes, but I think we should talk about what Judge is doing. And I think I have to tell you, Vinny, how mentally strong and minded is Aaron Judge?
That's
how in the world could you handle what these people have said about you during times when they no way in hell could have been able to be on that field with the toe issue that Judge has come across? Plays 162 games, folks, and he's a very, very large man. Moving across and playing center field. It's truly impressive. Yes, Juan Soto in the lineup. Yes, it allows him to be more successful, yada, yada, yada. This dude is a dog. He's a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see this coming. I knew he was good. It almost feels like he's better than ever right now. And it's really not close. I mean, he had that 60 homer season, right? Not too long ago, but this feels like something different. It almost feels like there's more in the tank, right? I mean, picture him being healthy the whole year. And he started off so bad too. Like you talked about the mental toughness that you need to start off as bad as he did. And then just almost like you flip a switch and now you're just the best hitter in baseball. It's been so much fun to watch. I can't say enough about it. And like you mentioned earlier too, the combo of him and Soto, you can't pitch around both of them, right? Like you have to attack one of them. And at this point, it's crazy to say you might as well start attacking Juan Soto. And you know, he's making people pay for it too. So
back to one point you made earlier?
Please.
When you talked about how, like, you know, how can you rank these teams to be the number one seed and handle the rest of the season? Mm-hmm. I think what will go against my point, and I'm going to go against my point here for just one second, because of the fact that they cannot afford a season-ending injury or injuries that linger throughout the year. I wouldn't be shocked in some scenarios where maybe fans think, why aren't these guys on the field? Is because that they're planning for the playoffs. That is something in the back of my head too. You know, Cashman and some of these guys are just not gonna allow themselves to be put in that position. And so even getting a wild card spot, they're still, in my opinion, the number one seed in the playoff.
Yeah, it'll be a tough balance, right? Do you want to push your guys and try to make the number one seed? Because they absolutely could, right? Or do you pump the brakes? Hey, we're going to rest Aaron Judge for a week or something like that. Or, hey, Luis Gil, you're not pitching for a month. Or, you know, you're just going to throw a couple innings here and there to stay fresh. It's a delicate balance, right? I said it's like it feels like a house of cards. And for that exact reason, one, you know, season-ending injury in the lineup, if, and I hate saying it, Aaron Judge, right? Or if even if he's out for a few months, like, we don't know what he's going to come back like, or, you know, what that looks like. So, yeah, it's a delicate balance. And that's a good question, and one that we're not going to be able to answer right now. But if I'm the Yankees, I'm just focused on let's make the playoffs. Let's take the pedal off, make sure our guys are good and ready to go when the playoffs come, and we trust our stuff to beat anyone else out there.
Absolutely. Looking down the board, just really quick on the OPS side, I think it's the best statistic to use in regards to, you know, who's had the most excellent seasons. Obviously, Aaron Judge there at the top, Juan Soto number two, and Marcell Ozuna round out the top three and over 1,000 OPS category. Below them is Shohei Ohtani, who, shocker, is top five in that category, will be top five next year in pitching. Kyle Tucker at a 979 OPS. He got hurt the other day, but looks like everything's going to be okay. Gunner, Bobby Witt, Jurickson Profar, Brent Rooker, and Rafael Devers. Brent Rooker, Vince, is my breakout hitter thus far. I think why is because of the fact that you are on that porous of a ball club, and to put together the season he's putting together is very impressive, right? We talk about Judge being mentally strong. I give a lot of credit to Brent Rooker. And I know the A's, they have a lot of young guys that play their asses off, and they want to play baseball. But I think we got to highlight Rooker and how well he's done thus far. 367 OBP with a 554 slug. As I mentioned before, a 921 OPS with 12 bombs and 39 RBIs. He was a 30 home run guy last year. He's already on track to blow out his RBI number of 69 from last year with 39 already thus far. And same with doubles. Vinny, he had 20 last year. He's already at 12. Will be on his first year of arbitration next year. He's not a free agent until 2028. I am very intrigued to see how does this year go about. From his strikeouts are a decently high right now. I think, though, as he moves forward, he was a talented, talented, talented ball player at Mississippi State. Like I said, had a great year last year, Vinny. I think he's somebody to watch here for the rest of the 2024 season.
I couldn't agree more. He broke down phenomenally. I'm slightly worried about the strikeouts, but you can't find a more legit power bat out there. And I'm happy that he's finally, you know, making it work. Good for him. Good for the A's. The A's haven't been as bad as I thought they were going to be. They're actually not even the worst team in their division, which I guess we all knew the Angels would be pretty bad too. So they've been playing okay, the A's, right? You know, we knew what to expect, but based on expectations, they've been pretty good. And Brent Rooker is a huge, huge part of that. Sorry, go ahead.
You have anything else to add on the hitting side?
No, I'll jump over to the pitching. So the guy that I'll just give some brief stuff on real quick on, you know, who my breakout was. And there's so many that I loved that I could have picked. Seth Lugo being one, Ranger Suarez another. I have to talk about Luis Gil because he's just been, out of everyone, the biggest breakout. And a couple numbers to highlight, just things to watch out for as the season goes on. His batting average against right now is 129. We have not seen a batting average that low since the 1800s, 1884. We saw a guy get that low. I forget. I should have the numbers in front of me, but I don't. But his batting average against is that low. It's the 129. And again, we'll see. You know, I mentioned this earlier.
Wow.
I don't know how long he's going to be able to sustain some of this stuff, but let's enjoy it while we can, because some of the things that he does really well, and, you know, I asked you this earlier, his four seam average is 97. His changeup average is 91, which kind of a weird mix, right? Like, you would think, you know, we were always taught like fastballs, changeup should have about a 10 mile an hour difference. He's got a really hard changeup, 91 miles an hour, an 87 mile per hour slider. But the thing that he's done more so than we've ever seen him do is he's leaning more on that changeup. So back in 2021, which is kind of the last time that he really was a pitcher, he was using his slider a lot more. He's fastball slider combo. Now he's using the fastball changeup combination. So that changeup is used 27% of the time, fastball 56% of the time. And he's figuring it out. And the scary thing, Tyler, is that he's getting better. Yes, he is getting better. The one hangup I had about him for the first month or so of the season was his walks, right? If I go through his first 1, 2, 3 starts, he had 3 walks, 4 walks, and 7 walks. But if I go through his last 4 starts, he's got 2 walks, 2 walks, 1 walk, and 2 walks. So he's figuring out his walks, and his percent still looks high in Savant. It's still 12%, but over the last month, it's much lower than that. It's probably about 8%. So he's getting better, and I hope that he can continue to pitch, because again, just looking at some of his innings over the last few years, he hasn't thrown more than 100 innings pretty much ever. 63 so far this year. He had 4 last year. He had 25 the year before that. And then he had 70, little over 100 in 2021. So that was last year. And then he was out for 2020. He hasn't been healthy enough to make a run at anything. And he's only 26 years old, right? He's been around since, he was in rookie ball in 2015. So he's been around for quite a while. He's obviously got the stuff to make it work. And we're finally seeing it, right? He's, strikeout rate of 31% is just stupid. That's ridiculous. Love seeing it. He's doing all the things right. Like I mentioned, his arsenal. He's really leaning on that 4-seam because it's his best pitch by far. And if he can build up his endurance, we're looking at a Cy Young right here.
Absolutely. And, one of the things too that I noticed was that on the average side, lefties, he's 141 against, righties, he's 130. And, at home, this is very impressive too, because he's 4-0 at home with a 1.27 ERA. Golly, this guy's a dog, man. That's impressive. Yeah. 14 walks to 44 strikeouts and a 115 average at home, especially with the short porch and right. God, that's impressive, man. And probably Yankee fans, like, many, many great teams at in all of baseball, right? You have that one guy that kind of carries you for a little bit in the pitching department. And not to say the other guys haven't done a fantastic job, he really has kept them in a positive position, because when Gerrit Cole news came out, everyone sort of said that it's going to be a rough road, because everyone thought that Orioles were going to take that division, basically by themselves. And Luis Hill said no.
I was one of those people. I was very skeptical of the Yankees. I thought, they'll be good, but they're going to be around the Red Sox territory, maybe 500. No, they have proven me wrong. 100%.
Well, Vinny, looking at the stat department here on the league leaders, one of the names that everyone has just been thoroughly impressed by has been Ranger Suarez, who leads the MLB in ERA at 1.70. You mentioned him there, Luis Hill at 1.82 at number 2. Tanner Houck, who's had an unbelievable season at 1.85. Shota Imanaga at number 4, who's been a breakout star, but his ERA might go up a little bit after tonight at 1.89. And then Tarik Skubal, who he didn't have his best stuff against the Rangers, and he still went like 6 innings, 6 Ks, no runs. That is a guy that is going to be here for a very, very long time. Strikeout wise, is Tyler Glasnow being the first to reach 100 Ks at 101. And then the wins department, Vinny, one guy who's been really nice to see do so well is Seth Lugo, with 9 wins, along with Ranger Suarez tied with him as well at 9. Vinny, that's pretty much a wrap up on baseball right now. There are so many things that we can go into. We'd be going for a couple of hours at this point. I guess, what is your one little sort of out of this world prediction here as we move into the rest of the rest of the year.
I do want to mention, I mean, who would have thought if Tyler, when the season started, that your ERA leaders would be Ranger Suarez, Luis Gil, Tanner Houck, and Shota Imanaga, right? Like, who would have thought? And then at number 9, you have Javier Saad, and then number 10, you have Tyler Anderson. Like, no, you just, nobody would have said that. So just, this is why we love the game. Game is, that's why
Jordan
we play,
Hicks,
right?
Jordan Hicks at 2.70.
Yep, I thought he would have been on the IL at this point by now. Bold prediction. I predict that Royce Lewis. No, I'll avoid the Royce Lewis here thing here. It's tough. How about I will predict? I think Jose Ramirez wins an MVP this year.
It's a very, very good pick.
I know Judge is obviously the clear front runner right now. There's just a part of me that just, I don't buy his health. And even if he's healthy for 130 games, he may still win it. But we saw that with Corey Seager last year. He was, you know, healthy for 130 games, 120, whatever it was. And he was just playing out of his mind and he still didn't win it. So I anticipate a similar road for Judge. And I think Jose Ramirez is going to lead the Guardians to winning that AL Central division and potentially an MVP. What about you?
This is tough because injuries have kind of taken away a lot of things that I would predict. Like, I thought the Padres would be, they are doing well at 32-31. I thought that they would actually have a better record than the Dodgers somehow, some way in my mind. I had a slight thought that that might happen. I guess my bold prediction is that Bobby Witt's going to carry the Royals.
God, oh, there you go. It'll be a little competitive between us, right?
I think he will. I just don't see. You look at Jose Ramirez. He does everything in the game. Bobby Witt does everything in the game.
Yeah,
Mookie Betts is an easy pick, right? I think people need to recognize that Bobby Witt legitimately is a top five player in baseball. So I think he carries them to a division title, and I think that we get a home game in Kansas City, a home playoff game, the first since 2015.
Yeah. And another guy that we don't talk about that should get his flowers on that team, Salvador Perez. What a year
season
that guy's had. I mean, again, another one who I was like, no way he's going to have a big year. His strikeout numbers are too high. His contact's too poor. He's falling back down to earth, but overall, his numbers just look phenomenal.
I'm going to make one more bold pick.
Okay.
Just because I feel so good about it, because of how well he's doing and how good his arsenal is. As long as he stays healthy, I think Tarik Skubal is going to win a Cy Young. I think he's going to.
Okay.
Nope.
How about, let's, can I look at last year's standings? Is that a thing? 2023. Hold on. So I got a prediction here. You ready? So last season, do you remember who the worst team in baseball was?
Oakland Athletics.
They won 50 games. The Chicago White Sox will win fewer than 50 games. That is my prediction. They're at 15 right now.
And the Cubs are down.
And the Cubs are losing to them.
5-0 in a delay.
Bad. Oh, they got delayed.
Yeah. Sucks, man. Yeah. All right. Well, Vinny, this has been fun. And we'll of course try to do this on a weekly basis. And you know, for folks that want to hear CB and they want to hear KMA, you may be still looking for CM. You know, there might be an opportunity, and you know, possibly Vinny and I might be doing some other future endeavors here in the future. We'll keep you posted if anything happens there. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to do the show, and we really enjoy it. So to everyone that tuned in, thank you so much for listening to another edition of Big Fly Pod. We'll talk to you again here soon.